Well, thank you. Thank you all again for having me this week. I wanted to start off just thanking everyone for being here and thanking everyone for the donations. I received a very generous donation from Sean Summers. So thank you for that, Sean. And if any of you would like to support these teachings, I've told everyone here that I'll continue teaching as long as people show up and as long as there's a sense of support here. I have a website. It's just my name, craigholiday.com, and holiday has two L's in it. There's a PayPal link on there and a donations page if you feel moved. It's important that we support these teachings. And so thank you everyone for supporting me along the way. It means a lot to me, and it makes it makes these teachings possible. So I received a question today. And it's quite an interesting question. I'd like to go into great detail in response to the question. But I thought before I got into that we could take a moment to settle into our body, to settle into our presence. And we must remember that the purpose of these teachings is to experience them directly, to experience the truth directly. And so as we come together in this way, as we come together in the sanctuary, I invite you all to bow your heads and open your hearts, to invite God, invite the highest to awaken in us and as us. Invite the presence of peace to come forward in the space of our mind, the presence of clarity and openness. We invite forward the attitudes of receptivity so that we can experience these teachings, so that we can experience this grace. Directly. It's important that we experience the teachings, that we experience this grace directly. And so what that means is we open our minds, we open our hearts, we open our subtle energetic body. We are opening to that which is higher, that which is greater than our everyday human experience. And this afternoon I was stacking some wood, and I noticed there was a mundaneness about my consciousness. And so I stopped in that moment. And I opened my heart more deeply and more fully. And as I did so, I began to experience this love, this beauty. I could see the hugeness of the blue Colorado sky. I felt as if life was living through me. And so I invite us to come into our energetic bodies, to feel and experience the hugeness of divinity that we are. That we are. And so I encourage you to connect with your spine, to connect with your heart. To connect with the spaciousness of your being. And notice, what does it feel like to be me? What is the direct experience of my presence? And as I open my presence, as we join together in this receptive atmosphere, what is our experience? Is our heart lit up with love? Are we connected with the vastness of our consciousness? Are you connected with the depth of silence that is our very nature? The depth of silence out of which my voice arises, out of which the very thoughts and sensations arise in your consciousness. Are we connected? Are we letting go into that which is good, that which is true, and that which is beautiful about us? Excuse me, and so I'm inviting all of us to come forward, all of us to rise to the occasion, all of us to step into the hugeness of our divinity. And as we do so, we begin to notice a sacredness, an awakening of divinity in us and as us. We may even begin to feel a descent of light. From above and from below. And so as we're seated here together, I invite all of us to open the crown chakra. And to call upon God, to call upon the absolute divinity, the absolute majesty of this universe to pour into us, to awaken something greater, to allow the everyday mundaneness, our everyday thoughts to fall away, and for them to be replaced with a brilliance of light. Light shining through the spaciousness, the vastness of consciousness. We invite this light down into our third eye, our throats, our hearts, down through our solar plexus, our hara, our root chakra, down through our thighs, our calves, our shins, our feet, and into the floor, into the earth herself. And as this light comes down through us, simultaneously the earth is awakening. We are inviting her grace, her presence, to arise, to awaken. And to rise up through the feet, through the calves, the shins, the thighs, the pelvis. The hara, the solar plexus, the heart. And we're inviting heaven from above and heaven from below to merge in the form of you and I. You and I. And so I encourage you to continue to let go, to continue to experience, to continue to feel directly. What's happening in your subtle energetic body? What is the direct experience of you? Can we bow before this absolute divinity? Can we bow before God above, before the God below? Can we bow before the hugeness of our own divinity? And so I invite you to continue to experience yourself fully, directly. I invite you, in a sense, to never stop meditating, to allow meditation to simply become a way of life. A way of life. There is no reason we ever need to disconnect from our divinity's world. No reason. I always smile when people tell me they have to go to work or they have to raise children or they have a busy life, so they don't have time for any of this spiritual stuff. Christ had a busy life. He was a busy guy. He was full of divinity. He did great work in this world. Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Saint Teresa, Amici. All have busy lives, had busy lives. The question is can we connect to our presence fully and live from it? Live from this presence. The idea that when our life becomes busy, we must connect with ego because we need our ego to protect us. That is the illusion. That's the illusion. This is the great illusion that our collective consciousness is wanting so dearly to get rid of, to let go. So as we're sitting here, as this grace is intensifying, I'm going to invite you to continue to stay with your presence while I switch gears and answer a question here that someone emailed or respond to a question. This question is from Romaine. Romaine, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. The question is, "Hello, Craig. I'm going through an awakening process. And it is incredible as much as scary. Yes, and that's the case for most of us on this path. The path of awakening is quite incredible. And it's scary to the degree that we don't know God. And I can say that just in general about life. Life is as scary, to the same degree as that we don't know God. If we don't know God, life will be incredibly scary. When we do know God, yes, it may continue to be scary when we first begin to see the hugeness of God's divinity, when we see that God's plan is different than our plan. When we see that we are not in charge, that can be very frightening when we really see that fully. But as we continue to open and see that what truly is in charge is something absolutely good, unconditionally loving. Then things begin to change. And so Romaine's question, it goes on. He says, "One thing I don't understand is how can we die to who we truly are without experiencing the fear of death?" Well, that's impossible, my friend. We cannot die to who we truly are without experiencing the fear of death. But this is a good thing. This is a good thing, and I will explain why, but I'll continue reading the question. How can complete surrender and death of everything we think we are, everything we think we were, can be lived in joy? So basically, how can we surrender and experience absolute joy? In my mind, it's imprinted that death can only be the ultimate fear. How can I live my awakening without thinking that I won't wake up without experiencing my fear of death? Thank you, Craig. Love you. Well, thank you, Romaine. This is a beautiful question. And I'll tell you, your answer is in your question. And that's oftentimes the case. In my mind, it's imprinted that death can only be the ultimate fear. Well, that's it right there, my friend. This fear is in our minds. The problem is that most of us don't understand death. We don't know what death is. If any of us truly knew what death is, we would realize death is synonymous with everlasting life. Everlasting life. There's no truth to the fear of death. None of us die. We live on forever. Now, I can say that to you all day long, but it's not convincing to our ego. The reason it's not convincing is because our ego is stuck in the grips of illusion. But let's walk through this journey together. So if we start off our journey with this idea that death is bad, that death is scary, that we know what death is and what death means, and yes, it can be frightening. frightening, but our fear is based on falsehood. It's based on beliefs which are not true. And I'll go even further because the beautiful thing that I love about the fear of death, which is one of the great doorways, a doorway we must all walk through if we truly want to live in an awakened way. The fear of death. It's not simply a thought that we have in our head. It's something we experience fully in our body, in our form, in our collective unconsciousness, in the unconsciousness of our egoic nature and the unconsciousness of our nervous system. In fact, that fear is supposed to be there. It helps us not do stupid things. And like ride motorcycles or jump off cliffs into the ocean or jump off cliffs on skis or a snowboard or whatever it is. So one, there's a very practical fear of death. That's just in our nervous system. That's a good thing. Just like to some degree, an ego is a good thing. It keeps us safe some of the time. Some of the time. Well, I live in the mountains in Colorado, and when I go camping, I sleep in a tent. That keeps you safe. It keeps you safe from the elements. I don't want to wake up wet or being snowed on. So it's healthy for us to have these thoughts. But if we really look at what death is, the only way we'll know the truth about death is if we walk through this door. So yes, Romaine, unfortunately, or it's actually fortunately, but there's no way we can be awake without facing death. To live in the awakened state, the awakened consciousness, is to walk through this doorway. But again, let's walk slowly here. Let's see what this doorway is. What is it actually, if we inquire into it deeply? What is this fear actually? I can remember many years ago pondering this same question myself. And to me, I never really had a great fear of death. But what I did have is what I called existential fear, which I think is the same thing. Existential fear, it's like a fear without reason. It's like a screaming fear that I'm dying, that something terrible is happening. And the beautiful thing that happened to me one day is that God came to me and visited me in the form of existential fear. And God stayed with me in this form of existential fear for about 9 months to a year and a half. I can't remember how long it was, but it was a really long time where this existential fear was just absolutely haunting me. It was in my consciousness every moment of my day and every moment of my night. Even when I did fall asleep, I would wake up, sweating with this sound of just screaming in my consciousness. It's quite interesting experience. But at some point I said, okay, show me death. Show me something I should be afraid of. There's that old saying, there's the only thing to fear is fear itself. Fear was just a movement. a movement of energy within the space of my consciousness. It sounded like screaming. It felt like heat. It felt like panic. And I decided, instead of fighting with it or arguing with it or trying to ignore it, I walked into it. Hell, it walked into me. And so I decided to join it, to sit down at the table with it. And I did this over many, many months. I became very intimate with fear. I do this with anything that comes into my consciousness. I open into it. Now, of course, in the beginning, when something comes into me which is uncomfortable, I, like anyone else on the planet, will try all the egoic strategies. You try to ignore it, you try to deny it, you try to transcend it. The thing that our egoic nature does unconsciously is it just labels it and said this says this is good or this is bad. Of course, in the case of fear, existential fear, it says this is bad. But to be awake means to have your eyes open, your consciousness open. And so as my consciousness was open, I noticed there was nothing here to be afraid of. There were screaming voices in my head. It felt as if there was 10,000 screaming voices in my head for over 9 months, just screaming at all hours. Existential fear. And so I looked at this screaming. I said, what are you? What are you truly? And as I walked closer, stepped more deeply, more fully into this experience, I found out that the scream, the 10,000 screaming voices, was simply a high-pitched om, the sound of the universe, om. I can smile to this day and say, yes, this om is right here, right now, in the space of my consciousness. If I was untrained, if I was ignorant, I would say this is the sound of fear. Yet if my heart is open and I'm awake to what's present, Om is present. In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was Om, and it's always present throughout eternity. There is no such thing as death. No such thing. And so as I looked more deeply, more fully at Om, I said, what is this? It's a brilliance of burning light that goes on in every direction. We don't die, you don't die, your divinity doesn't die, your childlike nature does not die. What dies is fear, ignorance, confusion, insanity. Everything you don't want in your life is what dies. But people get overly identified with their egoic personality and think, well, that's going to die too. No. If you look at any great sage, she still has some degree of personality. She doesn't just turn into a Kuan Yin statue after she wakes up. Amachi has a different personality than Mother Mary, and a different personality than Saint Teresa, the little flower. Has a different personality than Ganguji. Rupert Spira has a different personality than Adyashanti, who has a different personality than Muji. What dies is everything which is unhelpful about us, or unnecessary about us. But your childlike nature, your childlike innocence, it doesn't die. You may find yourself simply more quiet, more open, more free, more happy, more divine. It's not a death into hell. It's a letting go into that which is wonderful about you. Many teachers paint this picture that ego death is this terrible, horrifying thing. It's a terrible, horrifying doorway, but as you walk through that doorway, right when you get to the transition, you start to smile and realize, oh, it is not so terrifying. It's actually quite wonderful. It's quite wonderful. It's wonderful if you can get comfortable with being big, with being vast. Now, the ego, the experience of our egoic nature, or just our small human personality nature, it feels little, it feels limited. It feels oftentimes divided. Personality doesn't always have to be divided. When it's awake, it just feels good to be you. So, Romaine, I would encourage you to let go of all these ideas about death. And actually walk into whatever fear it is. You know, the direct experience of fear. Walk into it and see. Is this something to be frightened of? It's just an experience. But as you walk further through that experience, you discover oftentimes what I call the opposite of that experience. When you walk through the doorway of death, you discover deathlessness, indestructibility. When you feel small in consciousness, and you're stuck in a story in your head, and it's causing you great pain and great suffering, and you let go of that story and step into vastness and peace. Most of us don't think of that as death. They just think of it as letting go, and it feels wonderful. It feels absolutely wonderful. The same is true with fear. When you walk through the doorway of fear, the fear turns into absolute aliveness. Aliveness. Like the old yogic prayer. Lord, take me from death into immortality. So to walk through this doorway, you have to be willing to feel the fear fully, investigate it fully, experience it fully, and see, do I actually die? Do I actually die? and notice that you don't. But you have to be kind of crazy, and I say that with a little bit of a smile. You have to be kind of crazy to walk through this doorway, because every cell in your body is going to tell you, don't go through that doorway. But that's just like the old wiring we have in our egoic consciousness, in the consciousness of our nervous system. And so back to this thing I said in the beginning. Do you trust in God? Or do you trust in your animal nature? An animal nature which is telling you to be always frightened. A number of months ago I got a new dog. This little puppy dog. And at nighttime, I take him on walks, and sometimes we'll go for a walk together. And, I'll be outside just looking at the hugeness of the universe and merging into it, and just feeling absolutely wonderful. And if there's another dog that barks, like if there's another dog in the neighborhood, in the distance that barks, this little dog of mine, he takes off running, scared, terrified. He runs all the way back home and leaves me alone, with the universe. And I smile because it's his nervous system. It's just telling him to run. He's not thinking about it. He's not investigating it. He's not looking at the situation. If he looked at the situation, he could see the other dog's far away, or the other dog's in a house. Behind a window and a door, and he's with his owner, and I'm not going to let anyone hurt him. But he doesn't look into it. He hears the sound of another bark, and he's a small little dog, and so he runs. He runs terrified. And so I go home and I hold him. And cuddle him and let him know it's okay. And so one of the things that we can do as we're walking through these doorways of fear, or whether it's, and this works with anything, whether it's fear or anxiety or sadness or any kind of overwhelming experience, you look at it clearly and ask yourself, with your eyes open, is there anything to be afraid of? Is there any danger here? Is anything real happening in this moment? The answer is almost always no. And then I invite you to comfort your nervous system. Allow the hugeness of your divinity to comfort your nervous system. When you step into your true nature, the hugeness of your divinity, you see that there's a me here, a me, a true me, a true I, who's awake, who's alive, who's untouched by whatever traumatic experience we think we had, or we did have, or we're going to have, or. And I invite you to embrace the fear. Embrace your body. Embrace your humanity. Embrace your nervous system. We all were given the same nervous system, a nervous system which seeks pleasure and avoids pain at all costs. And so one of the greatest things we can do is breathe fully and deeply into our form. And just gently let our body know, hey, it's okay. It's okay. There's this old teaching that we are not our body. And it's true, we're not our body. We are the incredible consciousness which is inhabiting the body. And our body itself, it has a wonderful consciousness too, an absolutely divine consciousness. It has so much intelligence throughout our form. It's amazing what our body does. But it also has a lower level of consciousness called the ego. And its job is to be on guard in every moment. And in a sense, for most of us, that old consciousness is becoming obsolete. We rarely need it. And so you can thank that part of you which is fearful and frightened. Thank it for working so hard and trying so hard to protect us and take care of us. And you can gently breathe into that fear and breathe into that consciousness and just let it go. Let it know. It's okay to let go. It's okay to let go. It's okay. It's okay to put the guard down. And so this is what death can be like, Romaine. We can simply put our guard down. Put it down. Come into this present moment and see there is no danger here. There's no danger. And even if you do have your guard up, and death is coming for you, my friend. It's not like your guard is going to protect you anyways. And by your guard, I mean this wall of ego that we put up and we it thinks it protects us from something. But we're in charge. And so it's very helpful if you have faith and trust, if you know that God is a good God. An all-loving God. Doesn't mean difficult things won't happen. Doesn't mean evolution won't continue to happen. But if you have faith and trust, if you open into the hugeness of your divinity and connect with the hugeness of the universe, you realize there's something quite incredible happening here. Quite incredible. It's much different than the experience of fear. And so the only thing I can do is encourage you to walk through this doorway and see for yourself. See if you're listening to a crazy man here, or if this crazy man actually knows what he's speaking about. I could tell you this funny story. I really tested this within myself, that if it really worked with even the physical fear of death, and I think I've told this story many times, and I'll see if I can tell it briefly. But I faced the energetic death many times in many different ways. Through the process of meditation, through meeting with my teacher, through different experiences that came forward in life. And there's even a time when God came and got me and pulled me down to the earth, and I thought for sure, okay, this is it, I'm dead. And didn't die. He literally reached up from the earth and pulled my body to the floor and had me, pull me down to the earth and laid me on the ground for about 4 hours where I couldn't move. And I felt him sucking the life out of my body, but simultaneously I was merging into the hugeness of the hugeness of life itself. And so that was one experience of death. But I was actually faced with death, and a couple of years ago I was in a it was in a I was in a whitewater raft, and the boat flipped in some big rapids. And I was drowning. I hit my head pretty hard, split my skull open, and was being tumbled all, tumbled underwater in these giant boulders, thrashed about. And I just let go. I said, okay, if this is death, okay. And everything went silent. It was absolutely beautiful. It was wonderful to walk through that doorway. What was not wonderful was coming back to Earth, being spit out of the water, and coming alive again, and having to heal my body. That was hard. That was the hard part. But death was beautiful. It was absolute silence, absolute light, just totally blissful. And so after that experience, I could say, oh, yes, death is a wonderful thing. And we don't die. We never cease to exist. And so anyways, my friend, you'll have to take my, you can either take my fork, but that'll never be good enough. What's important is that we walk through these doorways ourselves, that we open to them and see. See for ourself. Do I need to be afraid? Do I need to listen to my egoic nature? And again, this teaching works for anything our ego is trying to tell us. I need to be angry at this person. I can't forgive. I can't let go. I have to hold on to my ideas and identification with this or that. Is it true? Who would I be without these thoughts? What would happen if I let go of all of this anger or sadness or rage or resentment or jealousy or whatever it is? Who would I actually be? And what happens is, you don't actually die. You wake up to that childlike innocence which you've always been your entire life. You become more fully yourself. Think so often we get these ideas that spiritual awakening means we turn into pure light and then disappear into some heaven realm where we never have to experience our humanity again, but that's not the case. Our humanity is still here, fully present, but it's an awakened humanity, a humanity flooded with light and spaciousness and beauty, absolute peace and silence. And this deepening continues forever. Awakening is just the beginning. The deepening goes on forever. And there's no end to it. No end to it. And so I'm going to transition a little bit into some more questions I received. And I thought I'd just talk a little bit about them, about the energetics of awakening. And in a sense, I've spoken about this evening. But what I'd like to add here about the energetics of awakening is that through this process, you should expect great changes to occur in your seven chakra centers and throughout your body. You should expect to be filled with light and intensity. Oftentimes I get these questions that people email me or sit with a student or an individual in my office and they ask, Craig, I seem to be having all these panic attacks. What is this about? I stepped into this place of peace and then I started having panic attacks. Or it feels as if there's this incredible nervousness in my heart or in my belly. I feel heat or cold or tingling, or it feels so brilliant in the space of my mind that I cannot sleep. I was just speaking with a young man a couple days ago. He told me he had this existential fear and simultaneously this brilliance. He couldn't sleep. It went on for months. I said, oh yeah, I know that experience. The brilliance is burning up the fear. To awaken, it's like turning a light bulb on that never turns off. It never turns off. And so, yeah, there can be some growing pains. You should expect strange, bizarre feelings throughout your body. It's your body waking up, your energetic body coming alive, coming online. You should expect to feel incredibly disoriented. Incredibly disoriented. I tell many people that it feels as if my memory has been erased. So many times throughout my day or week, my wife or my daughter asks me about something that happened in the past. And I have no idea what they're speaking about. You know, sometimes people have asked me, Craig, it's like you have Alzheimer's. I say, yeah. Or it's like living in the present moment. So you can label it any way you like. But when we live in the present moment, we live in the present moment. It's wonderful, spacious, it's alive, it's fresh, it's new. Your mind is not cluttered. Your mind is not cluttered with the past, fears from the past, or anger from the past, or whatever it is that people carry. And we're not bothered by things we need to do in the future. We are right here, and that can be very disorienting for an individual on the path of awakening. It's like, yes, your whole life unfolds eternally in the ever-present now. Doesn't mean you can't make plans, or you don't make plans. If you need to, you do. But in the meantime, you enjoy the hugeness of the sky, the spaciousness of your consciousness, the beauty of this present moment, the freshness, the aliveness. Colors become more alive, more vivid, more bright, more intense when you simply drop everything and come into the present moment. But yes, this is true. You know what you're saying? It can be scary if you don't realize it. It can be frightening if you step into the present moment and the past falls away and you don't know what happened. But again, this goes back to having a faith and a trust that I know who I am, what my life is about. I know the hugeness of my consciousness, and it is divine. Too many of us live in this great fear. We've spent too much time at the doctor. If you ever walk into a doctor's office, you can feel the consciousness there. It's just, there's so much fear there, so much panic. But doctors, you know, doctors know about physical symptoms. They don't really know about the hugeness of our consciousness. I had a doctor once tell me I had a brain tumor. And then he gave me an MRI or CAT scan or whatever that thing is. It's very expensive. And then he said, "Oh, no brain tumor." So I laugh. I laugh because I know that he had no idea what he was speaking about. But see, this is the thing with spiritual awakening. Are you going to go to another and allow someone else's opinion of your consciousness define you? Or are you going to step into the hugeness of your divinity and claim your God-given divinity? Claim the hugeness of your nature. Claim it. But yes, the further we walk, we should expect our experience to be greatly different. Now, there was times when I would go months without sleeping. I thought I was going to go mad, go crazy. I would just lay there and just buzz all night long. But I didn't go into the experience of going crazy. I went into my experience and said, "What is this? What is this that I am?" Oh, it's light. It's love. It's brilliance. So we can call it absolute brilliance or insomnia. People don't know what insomnia is. It's simply a lot of energy. A lot of energy. What is energy? Energy is God. And when you truly open to it and truly embrace it, you discover this divinity everywhere. Even if the divinity manifests as some strange sickness or disease or and I test this with everything, every experience I have. If I get a virus, if I get the flu, I feel it fully, I experience it fully, and I say, "Is this Satchitananda too?" When I hit my head on the boat and almost died, I said, "Is this too, God? Is this pain, God? Physical pain? Is this God?" Yes, this is God too. This is God too. I don't mean that in a philosophical way. I mean, if you feel into any experience directly, you experience spaciousness, brilliance, light, bliss, peace. All energy arises from the same space. All matter, all material, all life. It is truly all one. So look at that. Another hour has gone by. I want to thank you all again for joining me this week. Again, thank you for the donations. And if you would like to contribute, for this evening's broadcast, there's a PayPal link on my website, the donations page. They're greatly appreciated. So thank you all so much. May peace and light and love be with you. May you all open. You all open. May all of us open to the hugeness of our own divinity and share this divinity with this beautiful world. Peace be with you all.